Rivers took away. That's the best. Get your money's worth. Now, that was
exactly. Stop. Moving forward. One of the things, you know, I think just personally for me, that, and this is why I've said that he wasn't Stan Van Gundy, wasn't at the top of my list, because he's a little bit of a curmudgeon, right? Like
physically.
Well, yeah, I mean, physically, definitely. But just the way, you know, he's just kind of one of those, he seems a little bit like a grump. Just always.
What's up and welcome back to episode 59 of Pro Pels Talk, presented to you by Company Burger and powered by Boot Crew Media. My name's Justin Napoli alongside Ross Thibodeau, and you just heard that awesome little segment from Ross on episode, what was it, 38, Ross?
38, back in October. Day we hired Stanley.
Ross, how you doing?
Bad.
Go
bad.
Ahead. The floor is yours.
We started the episode by cutting in that clip, right? And it just after last night's game, the one thing, whatever, we lost again. It doesn't matter. We just don't look like a team that's having very much fun, do we? Like you would think for a team with probably the most exciting player in the league right now, I would say. I mean, maybe top two at the worst, but like, you know, team with the most exciting player in the league. And we just don't, like, we don't look like we have any fun playing. Nobody's ever smiling. We're like, we just look like, well, I was gonna say we look miserable, but we look like the type of team that's annoyed by their coach, but it looks like they're just like,
so
grumpy ass Stanley.
And that's, it's tough. I know he's trying to change the culture, and I'm not, you know, trying to defend him. I just know that Griffin hired this man and got Eric Bledsoe and got Steven Adams to shore up the defense. Our defense is worse than last year. So like, remember all those people like fire Gentry? And I was like, I don't think it's really Gentry's like kind of fault. Like, you know, like, yeah, maybe Gentry wasn't a great head coach, but this brand of basketball. And here's another thing. I think people are just like not realizing that this offense would be really, really, really bad without Zion Williamson. Like, Zion Williamson is the reason why this team's offense is so good. There's no movement. There's no creativity. There's no flow. It's people standing around Zion being an absolute beast from 5 feet within. Like, I tweeted something out today, spacing, spacing, spacing. I tweeted out a clip of Zion Williamson literally going 1-on-5. And there were some people that were just basically saying, well, we have the best offense in the league.
We don't.
No, we don't. Like, we stand around. Good off. We stand around and watch Zion walk.
Yeah, and that's fine. Like, that's because but there's also been other teams that like have done that, right? I mean, the LeBron teams, but in the Cleveland.
But LeBron,
I agree. I'm not comparing. I'm just saying, at the end of the day, right, like, you brought in a defensive coach and Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe and these guys that were supposed to, you know, basically change the way we play defense, and we're the exact same.
Right. And like, that's what, and everyone's like, well, the offense isn't the problem. And it's like, well, Zion needs to play defense. Zion's 20. Like, do y'all expect Zion to be like, I don't know. Like, do y'all expect him to be like next to Kembe Mutombo? Like, I don't, like, what do you want him to do? Like, he's guarding stretch fours, so he's not very mobile with his, like, he's not very light on his feet defensively. He's a problem with that. He's also 20 years old. He played high school basketball where he was bigger than everybody else, played AAU where he was better than everybody else. And then he played 1 year at Duke. And I don't know if you remember this, Ross, they were one of the worst defensive teams in the nation that year. So, like, you need to give him time to develop. I think I am very, very disappointed with Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe brought in to this team than anybody else. Now, I think Brandon Ingram still needs to take that step and be a leader. And really, I know in the offseason he said, like, I want to focus on my defense. And I thought, like, for the first 4 or 5 games he was getting there, and then just has shut off since. But at the same time, Eric Bledsoe and Steven Adams were supposed to come here, Ross, and make this defense better, and they are not. Plain and simple, those two guys have been absolutely terrible.
No, and it's funny because we just said, I mean, if you go look at the, you know, obviously the stat, you know, team statistics, and then even if you want to go look at the pace adjusted stuff, right? So what, everybody, well, you know, we played faster last year, whatever. It's the same. We were, you know, 26th or 27th in points against last year, and it's the same on a pace adjusted basis. We were a bad defender. I'll put it in layman terms. We were a team that scored a lot of points last year, and we were a team that gave up a shitload of points last year, and this year we are the exact same
without offensive creativity.
Like, the exact same. The difference is is this year you're getting Zion at a just a superhuman offensive player that is going to score a shitload of points. Basically, we're just rolling the ball. I mean, let's call it what it is. We're rolling the ball out there right now.
Yeah,
I just go play,
like
have fun,
and
which we don't do.
We do not have fun. This is a team that night in and night out, you don't know what you're going to get with them. Right, one day, you know, you're elated, you're just off a major high of coming back against the Celtics, and you know they've beaten the Bucks, and they've had some great wins. They've beaten the Suns, like they've beaten some top like tier teams. And then I'm not saying Chicago's dog shit, but I am saying that at home on a Wednesday night, day before All-Star break, like we came out absolutely flat. We're down 8-0. At one point, the score was 19 points Chicago, 8 points Zion. It was 19-8, and Zion had all 8.
We don't look like a team that really enjoys playing. I don't know. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, you can put X's and O's and this, that, and the other aside, right? When I watch us play and I watch every game, I don't find us to be a team that appears to enjoy playing. Like, we don't appear to be a group of guys that enjoy playing. And put it on whoever you want to put it on. I know how I'm putting it on. But, like, for instance, I watched the Blazers-Warriors game later on in the evening last night. Both teams, like, I mean, the Blazers.
Balls to the wall.
The Blazers are a team that is here. I mean, they fight. They, after the game, you never see this in the NBA.
They're
after
the game CJ yesterday. McCollum too.
Yesterday after the game, so they win. Obviously, Lillard plays out of his mind in the, you know, late in the fourth quarter. They win the game. Their team actually does huddles up after the game, daps off everybody, you know, hey, but you know, good to see you, catch you guys at All-Star break, whatever the hell they say. Then they huddle up by the bench before they went to the locker. Never seen an NBA team do it ever. Well, and after
why,
a win.
Why do you think that?
Well coached.
Stouts is one of the best in the league.
Veterans.
Dame Lillard, Carmelo like Anthony, playing. Enes Kanter.
They like playing. Enjoy it. They enjoy like each other. They like their coach.
I don't think this team doesn't like each other. I think this team actually does like each other, but I just think there are major, major holes, and we're about to, you know what I am excited for? We're going to have our first live call here in a second. We got a couple of questions coming in, which we'll get to in a second, but I wanted to talk about Steven Adams. Now, Steven Adams, I like Steven Adams as a person, and I don't want this to be like, I don't like him. I'm taking a shot at him. I absolutely hate his contract, Ross. Now, when we've talked about this for days now, when we first traded for Steven Adams, we're like, okay, get it. You know, expiring contract, veteran presence is going to take over Derek Favors, like defensive guy, tough as shit, strong, whatever. Fine. Ross, explain to me the 2-year extension worth $34 million.
Didn't understand it when we did it. Still don't understand it. Never made sense. Didn't have to do it to get him here. I don't think his play necessarily warranted it. Not exactly what you would consider a new age center. I don't know. This befuddled me when we did it. And now watching him, I'm even more confused by it simply because there was just no need for it. It was just
explain. I want you to explain what you mean by no need for it, because you have a great point here.
Because you could have come in. You could have just brought him in. He was not. I mean, he was in the last year of his deal. It's not like we needed to extend him to get him here, right? You didn't have to, like, it wasn't part of the trade or anything. Like, it was a choice that we made after the fact. Like, he could have come. Let's just a good example, right? So let's just say we're at the All-Star break and we haven't done that deal yet. And if we really wanted to extend Steven Adams, you don't think right now he would take 2 years and $38 million? Are you kidding me? You think his next contract is going to sniff that? He's a perfectly, the same thing I've been saying about Eric Bledsoe all year. He is a perfectly average NBA player. You know, whatever. That's what he is. He's a perfectly average NBA player, not a guy that you come in and before you've ever seen him with your current roster, you're like, hey, you know what? We got to keep that guy around for another 2 years. Let's overpay him to clog the paint for everybody. That's good. Yeah, let's do that. He's going to hammer people with screens. It's going to be sweet. He's so average. You could find 30 Steven Adams off the scrap heap.
Let's go. Like, who would you rather over Steven Adams right now? Would you take Enes Kanter over Steven Adams?
We're talking about contract, like.
Contract.
Yeah. Anyone like making less than him? Yeah, the answer is yes.
So Nurkic.
Rather Derek Favors. Cody Zeller. We looked at him yesterday. Derek Favors got like 2 years, $20 million from the Jazz, I think, with a team option or something. I'd rather have Derek Favors at $10 million. Do you want to sit here and tell me if there's any difference between what Favors did last year and what Adams is doing this year?
It's about the same now. Someone's like, well, maybe Steven's hurt. And it's just like, well, how
okay,
much?
Okay, whatever. Maybe he is. That's not my, like, my point is that
he is what he is.
Right.
He's an aging center that is clogs up the paint for our superstar is not, doesn't have a 15 footer yet. And so he does all his scoring in the, you know, like 5 feet in. And it's hard night in and night out. Like Zion will get 25, 30 points, but my God, does he have to work for it?
Yeah. And he's not, and Adams isn't like, because
there's no spacing.
Well, yeah, but it's not like there's a million of these like stretch fives that are actually halfway decent defenders running around there or whatever. Like, but there are guys that can make elbow jumpers. There are guys that are above the rim.
So if
Adams was a consistent, like above the rim guy and was doing some of the defense, fine. I mean, he just is a perfectly average player on both. Like, does he know what's going on defense? Sure. Like probably, but there's just so many guys. He doesn't move the needle in any direction.
Right. You're
paying $20 million for a guy that just doesn't move the needle like at all.
I looked at Al Horford yesterday. I really had this debate with myself. Like, would I rather Al Horford or Steven Adams? The reason why I took Al Horford and the contract's terrible, whatever, is because they at least can pick and pop. Like Steven Adams, that's a great screen. That's great. But he can't hit a 15 footer. He shoots 48% from the free throw line. Like he can't hit a 15 footer. So he's getting rebounds and that's great. And sure. And everything like that. But like, I mean, I'm looking at him right now. Keep that up, Ross. He's got seven points, nine rebounds for $27 million. And then next 2 years, you can get 34. That doesn't look good.
No, we're stuck. I mean, we're in a bad spot.
So we're in a bad spot because Steven Adams is on the book for next 2 years for $34 million, right?
Yeah.
Eric Bless is on the book next 2 years for $35 million. Is that right? I'm sorry.
Combined, he's on for almost 38.
Okay, so now you're gonna have to. Are you gonna pay Lonzo?
If you pay Lonzo, you're out.
Cooked. You pay Lonzo, you're cooked. So you're screwed there. What else we got? You're gonna have to pay Zion Williamson. That guy's pretty good.
Yeah, but he's down the road a little bit. You're looking at the next 2 years.
The next 2 years, if you can't move off from Bledsoe and Steven Adams, you're gonna be once again an 8-9-10 seed in the West. This is why I can't get with some of these people that work for this team. And I'm not going to call them out, but they know who they are. Well, we're in a rebuild process and you have to trust the process. And it's like, well, you're going to waste 3 more years of Zion Williamson. Like, do you realize that you are now looking at 2024 of the Pelicans being, we don't know. I mean, we don't know what they're going to be, but the next 2 years, if you keep Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe on this roster, you okay rolling out with Lonzo, Bledsoe, Adams, Zion, and BI? You're gonna have the same problems. Defense isn't good. You're only getting older. You're shaking your head. I figured you'd talk.
Stan here? Does this contemplate Stan still being here?
How long we signed Stan for? 4 years?
Because
a lot of people are also forgetting is that we still owe Alvin Gentry, who's coaching for another team, $5.7 million this year. Don't forget that. Alvin Gentry's getting paid $5.7 million to coach against us. And I feel like Stan Van Gundy coaches against us too. So we have two head coaches literally coaching against us.
I wanted, like, just for the record though, like, this is important. Like, I wanted Gentry gone. We had seen the best of Gentry. Like, you knew what Gentry was and you knew what he was.
Did you think it was fair the way he left though?
I thought
what happened in the bubble.
No. I think there was still, I feel very confident based on what we've heard that there was some internal things going on that we were kind of hamstringing ourselves there a little bit. I thought that was bullshit, but he should have been gone a year ago. I mean,
He wasn't the guy. He wasn't the right guy. Here's my thing. I think the players like playing for him more than he did Stan Van Gundy, but he's a great offensive mind. And then also another thing that's not being talked about, Ross, before we get to the Eric Bledsoe contract, is our coaching staff last year was so much better than what the shit we have on the bench this year. And I'm not trying to take shots at anybody, but like Finch, McMillan, like those are two, like Finch's now a head coach.
Yeah.
Coaching staffs matter. Thank God we kept Vincent. He was not like, yeah, we're in a problem. We let's move on to Eric Bledsoe.
Can I just talk, because we just talked about how, like, you know, the team and where we're looking in the future and everything. Remember that guy we drafted this year?
No, I don't. He doesn't play. What's his name?
Kyra Lewis. He's a, you know, point guard, kind of energetic guy or whatever. I was just looking, you know, I mean, we had a 10-game stretch when he was actually playing. There was, you know, for the most part, he just hangs out on the end of the bench. You know, I don't know.
Alongside Nikhil Alexander Walker?
Yeah, those guys. They just chill at the end of the bench and eat gummy worms or whatever they're doing down there. He's coming on the back of now like 3 or 4 straight DMPs. Before that, he played 10 games. We went 5-5. 500. Hey, 500 would be looking pretty good for us right now. Is there like, I mean, God played 10 games. Eric Bledsoe, God played 10 games. We went 5-5.
And I know y'all are going to look at the box score after, if you listen to this podcast, you're going to see Eric Bledsoe posted a double-double last night. It is the biggest bullshit double-double I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, he played 41 minutes last night. Eric Bledsoe got 41. 41 minutes, Ross.
Well, I mean, no, again, people want to look at all this advanced stuff. Well, Kyrie didn't have anything to do with this, that, and the other. Like, I'm not saying that Kyrie should be starting.
You can't get him 7-10 minutes?
It's the same thing we've been saying all year. Like, we're 15-20. We are not good.
And we're not going to win a championship this year.
We're not good. I mean, we are just a run-of-the-mill, below-average NBA team, the same as we've been the last few years. Why on earth? You went five. I mean, we were fine in 15 minutes for him 2 weeks ago. Like, those minutes didn't disappear. We didn't all of a sudden rattle off 10 straight wins without him playing.
Well, JJ's been playing a lot.
We went 5-5, which is better than what we're doing right now. 500 is better than what we currently are. It just doesn't make any sense. Why? This is why I didn't want to bring in Stan. These type of guys, they don't like rookies. They want it. He wants to win today. He wants to do all this crap. We are not going to win shit with this roster. We're not going to win shit.
You know the guard, Peyton Pritchard, the Celtics from Oregon?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the little guy.
How many minutes do you think he gets in
there? More than Kyra.
21 minutes. He plays for the Boston Celtics. Let me get this straight. The Boston Celtics. One of the best teams in the league. He gets 21 minutes on a championship contending team. Kyra Lewis, who's on the what seed are we now? The 12th?
Who knows?
Kyra Lewis gets 8 minutes a night. Yeah. Sorry, gets 12.8 minutes a night.
Good grief.
And he's logged 4 DNPs in a row. How do you expect
senseless to get a DNP? Like, it's senseless.
And I can't get with the people that are just like, well, you know, the bench will teach them. No, the bench doesn't teach anything.
I would rather be in the G League. I swear to God.
When you say that, you've never played the sport.
Yeah.
Like, you've never done anything. Like, anything in this life.
It's so dumb.
Anything in this life, you do it. Like, you get better because you keep doing it at like a game speed.
I would honestly rather him go to the G League. If he's going to pick up DNPs, like, at all.
We sent Wenyen and Gabriel to the G League.
Send Hayes and send Kyra. And you know what? Send Nau too. I'm serious. If they're not going to play on the main team, right? If all you care about is trying to win or trying to get the 10 seed or whatever the hell we're trying to do, then just move off of them.
I have a question for you.
Let them go play. Like, what does Kyrie need to work on? What is the one thing that probably he needs to get?
Probably needs a little better shooting ability.
Then go let him play and get live shots with somebody with a hand in his face.
Come on, man. He's practicing every day, dude. Like, don't you?
Yeah, they do layup lines and watch film. They don't practice. We just do shit. This is the same frustrating thing I felt like we did last year. We do stuff that just doesn't make any sense.
I got a question for you.
If we were winning, I wouldn't question it.
I got a question for you. You know, are we in a rebuild or are we trying to win? No, I'm serious. Are we in a, do you know? I have no idea. Because is that not a valid question? Are we in a rebuild or are we trying to win?
It's funny because I think if we took every person that works in the organization and asked them that question, you'd get 10 different answers.
That's the problem I'm having. Because like you're saying we're trying to rebuild, but why am I getting Eric Bledsoe? Why are we extending Steven Adams? Why are we getting Eric Bledsoe 41 minutes? JJ Redick still hasn't mentioned. And then here's my thing.
There's no way we're rebuild. Like, go look at who we play every night. Like with Josh Hart, JJ Redick, Eric Bledsoe, like all these guys are veterans. We're not,
when you're trying
this is not a team. This is a team that's trying to win games.
Okay.
Like, very, very much trying to win games.
So like, would you say like a team like the Sacramento team, like Sacramento Kings, that looks kind of like a rebuild. Like Tyrese Halliburton's getting close to 25, 30 minutes a night, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, that's because Tyrese Halliburton's good.
Yeah, he's getting 30 minutes a night.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing great.
A rookie. He's playing great because he's playing 30 minutes a night. Now, am I saying Kyrie Lewis will average 13 and shoot 43% from deep? No, but I guarantee you that he can average 8-5, 9-6. You've seen him. You've seen it. Everyone's seen it. Like, again, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, you don't just drop a 36 burger on the LA Clippers. Like if you don't have it, you don't drop 36.
Yeah. I just don't understand how other teams find time for these guys and we can't.
Can't do it.
Well, no, let me take it back. I very much understand why we don't. And it's because you've got a grumpy curmudgeon that's like, I don't want to win games and we want to play hard defense.
So
this is blah, 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 blah. We're not going to win anything this year.
Or next year. Sam thinks we are, though. And there's a divide between Sam Van Gundy and the front office. It's clear as day. There's no way David Griffin right now in trading lane is sitting there like, God, that's awesome. Our number 8, number 17, number 13 for the past 2 years are getting a combined like 12 minutes.
While we lose every other night.
While we are losing.
That's what I'm saying. This is why I just want everyone to understand. If we were sitting here at 22 and 13 doing this, hey, knock yourself out. Like, you're a winning team. You're in the top.
What's our record?
15 and 20. Then go for it, right? Like, do whatever you can. But everyone sees what we are. We are an average to below. We're gonna have some good wins, and then we're gonna have losses like last night. Like, it just, we're not on a night to night basis. The spread is from top to bottom. Like, on one night we're world beaters. The next night it's like the Tulane could beat us. We are who we thought we were.
Data greets or whatever his name was. Anyways, all right, we're going to our new live segment. So a couple of announcements before the new live segment. Pelicans win, you win. Starting after the All-Star break, if the Pelicans win, Company Burger will give you free tots with the purchase of a burger.
Unbelievable!
How awesome is that? Shout out Adam at Company Burger. Free tots every time. So the Pelicans win, you win. Let's get to our first caller. It's Jonathan. Let's give him a call.
Hello.
Jonathan, you're live with Justin and Ross on Pro Pels Talk. How you doing today?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good. What you got for us?
I just think, like, what do you guys think about, like, the defensive, like, adjustments we need to make? Like, when we're getting guys get hot, like, you know, like guys like Levine, guys like Luka, like, what do you think we should do? Like, we could go to box and one, and then they're just going to shred us to pieces with our passes. So, like, what do you think we should do?
Good. Well, we're going to answer that for you. Appreciate the call. And we'll get to you right now. Ross, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, the tough part about that question is that, I mean, those guys kill everybody, right? So, I mean, but our biggest problem for me this year has been pick and roll defense. We've said it two episodes ago. Like, the Bulls did it all day yesterday. They ran a high school ball screen all day.
So do you think it's more concept, according to Jonathan's question, do you think it's more concept or do you think it's more players that are causing this problem? So we're going to drop coverage with pick and rolls, right? Our bigs on drop coverage, everybody runs that. So why are guards getting cooked? It's because they're not fighting over screens.
That's what we go Lonzo under.
Lonzo and
Bledsoe
get crushed.
Yeah, we go under a bunch.
I'm sorry, not Lonzo. Bledsoe gets crushed. Like, he doesn't fight over screens.
We go under a lot and get killed. And then I just find we don't recover well enough. I think Adams and Bledsoe have not been as good defensively as possible. In terms of how you, like, I mean, what in-game adjustments? First off, we don't make any. But if we were to make some, that's sort of your wheelhouse, Justin. I mean, for me, it's all about
guard play. You got to be.
And that's the ball out of those guys' hands. Though,
no, you
right?
have to. Absolutely. I think that Lonzo does an actually exceptional job of fighting over screens, but we do have guards that get caught on screens, right? So, like, you watch Kyra Lewis, and this is another point about Kyra Lewis. Kyra Lewis, he's so quick and crafty, he doesn't get screened. And then he's quick enough to recover. Also, to Jonathan's question, we're overhelping so much on the nail and in the lane that when these guards are so fucking good. Like, you're in the NBA. These guards can make those, you know, cross-court passes that we're running out and we're overrunning. So a guy will pump fake us, drive it to the lane, and get even an easier shot. Like, that's the problem. Our closeouts are also, like, horrible as well.
And one of the things, if you go back and remember what we said about the Celtics game, we came in here right after the Celtics game, we were all excited. And one of the things we talked about was the fact that the defense, we were picking guys up much higher up the court, right? So, you know, the whole take, you know, you got to take it out of their hands. That'd be great, right? But you can't, it's impossible to do. What can you do, though? You can make it difficult to get to your spot.
Yep.
We can pick you up a lot higher up the court, make you take a few extra dribbles, maybe slow the offense up a little bit. You're not able to get into your sets right away. Our defensive intensity that game, Josh Hart was picking up Tatum on the other side of the court,
yep.
right? So you make them work a little bit to get to their spots. You've got, like, it's not just a scheme thing all the time. Like, sometimes it really is just deny up the court, higher up the court, and when change, slow the shit up. I mean, that's the entire point of a half court press, right? Isn't necessarily to get the ball. It's so that 24 second shot clock,
Well, if we can make you chew up 8 or 10 right. or 12, well, you're a little slower getting into your stuff. And next thing, I mean, no, that's the way basketball's playing.
And this is why Drew Holiday's really missed, is because he was another great guard defender that could get over screens. And like, it's just something that's not really talked about. And I think a lot of people don't understand the drop coverage in the league. Like, that's like all like 30 teams do the drop coverage. It's almost impossible.
There's just such
a big to hedge.
There's just so few big guys. There's so few.
Yeah, you just can't do that. But, you know, Jonathan, thanks for calling in. We love this segment. We're going to keep doing it. We got another question for you from Peach Pope at Bless Up MJ. He's going to ask his through Twitter. Okay. What do you think you get through for Eric Bledsoe, like a bag of chips or the gum on the bottom of someone's shoe? What would you give up? That's a great question. So what do you think we could honestly get for Eric Bledsoe? Because you're going to have to attach. I feel like now you're going to have to attach a pick.
Yeah. So we talked about this before we went on air today, that, you know, right now I think we have two contracts that are sticky. And that's Adams and Bledsoe. I think Adams is almost impossible to move. Like even attaching a pick. Like, I think Adams is almost impossible to move. I think Bledsoe is still movable. He's actually shooting the ball pretty good. He's shooting like 39% on volume this year. I think Bledsoe's thing is he's 31, inching close to 32. He's not a focal point of a starting unit anymore. And I think we see the defense is not what like was, don't was, get me started on that. Was not. So, but Bledsoe has value in the sense that I think you put Bledsoe on Clippers or the Lakers, yeah, he's got, or that second like unit, the Celtics, or yeah, the, or back on the Bucks, heaven forbid, a team like that. You throw him as your, you know, second guy off the bench, combo guard that can come in with the second unit, hit shots. He's got another good player around him. Yep. He still has some value, I think, in the right, like in a winning type situation.
I agree.
The contract makes it tough to move him, but I think you could get nobody's giving you a first round pick for Bledsoe, I wouldn't imagine, but you could probably get like a young player that has a little bit of upside. I'm trying to think of someone exactly, right? I mean, it's sort of putting me on the spot.
Jabari there. Parker there. I mean, I know he's still not really young. There was one player that was interesting. Someone brought up, I forget who it was. Maybe it's a little crazy, but Kevin Knox. I think Knox is getting some DMPs now. He's struggling lately, but they're like, I think people think, like, oh, Eric Bledsoe, we got to get a player back. It's like, you're not getting, like, you're almost getting a project back. Like,
yeah.
A guy that hasn't found his rhythm.
You're getting like the Nuggets, you're getting like a Bowl or the Trailblazers, right. A guy that was drafted, like a guy with some, you know, like, maybe some wing potential, like a Nasir Little.
Not getting Anthony Simons or a game like from like the Blazers. I don't think you'll get him.
No, I don't think you'd
be. We have two great players. You have a very good player in Lonzo Ball, in my opinion, who's been playing well. And then the rest is all question marks. I still have no clue, Ross. And Nikhil Alexander-Walker's been on this roster for 2 years. I still don't know what he is. People say he's a two guard. He gets played with one guard. Can he shoot? Can he drive? Can he play? I don't know. He doesn't play. How are we supposed to know? How are we supposed to know what to do or what we can get for him if we don't know what he... And that's another thing. Hey, come on, Justin. Like, we're getting Bradley Beal. We're going to attach Nikhil Alexander-Walker and picks. Nikhil Alexander-Walker doesn't play. So like, do you think the Wizards are like, oh God, we're definitely getting Nikhil Alexander-Walker for sure. And give me 2-3 first round picks. Absolutely. No. I keep saying this. Go look at the James Harden deal. You want a superstar? And I know James Harden's in a different tier than, but Bradley Beal is very close. Look at what the Nets had to give up. Allen. LeVert.
Picks. Yeah, you see what Jared Allen's doing for the Cavs?
He'd be
it took the Cavs about one game to say, hey, Andre Drummond, just don't even dress out anymore. Go ahead and don't even dress out, because you're just not gonna play. We're gonna trade you. Like, this guy is so much better than you. And just, you know, is what it is, right? But he's a guy, back when we were talking about Drew Holiday trades. And if you remember this, what teams might be interested in Drew Holiday, all that kind of stuff. Yep. Even back in the Anthony Davis stuff, we were talking about Jared Allen as a guy that, man, Jared Allen might be a really interesting fit next to Zion Williamson. So guys like that, you don't think anything of, right? I mean, and now they get in the right situation, and holy shit, that guy's really fucking good. I don't know. Back to the Bledsoe question, I would be looking for teams that are obviously trying to win now, probably have you probably got to try and get a guy back on the last year of his deal. So you save yourself hopefully you can save yourself 2 years of money. Right. And then you're going to have to take on, you know, a project. I mean, I don't know how else to say it other than that. The home run for me for a Bledsoe deal, and I say home run because I think there's so little chance of this happening, would be to package Bledsoe, someone else, and a handful of those picks and try to get Miles Turner. I still think that's something I would try to do, I don't know.
Last before we go, Ross, I want to hear what you think, the Pelicans kind of do here with the All-Star break and then into the trade deadline. Do you think we're going to be aggressive? Obviously JJ will be gone. Do you think that Bledsoe might possibly be gone? Cause those are the two guys you got to think, right?
I would
and what about Josh Hart as well?
I would expect, I think JJ, we've said this all year. I mean, I think JJ has to be,
he should be moved before the season even started.
I would still love to move Hart just simply because what have you been talking about? If you're going to give Lonzo any money, and I'm still not sure, you're more sure than I am, I'm still not sure that Lonzo's a guy that I bring back for what he's going to cost. But whatever, if he is, like, you're stuck. Like, there's not. So what are you going to do? Go over the cap? Like, what? I mean, Josh Hart has probably shown enough to get like a reasonable 3 year deal.
Like 34-35% guy, he's an energy guy and rebounds for
someone's going to give him do we really want to be that team? I mean, I don't see him as a guy that we're going to be bringing back. And we're going to have to shave money wherever we can. Yep. So I don't know. I would spend all of my time trying to move off of Steven Adams and or Bledsoe if possible. If you can get one of those guys the books this year, that'd be great.
Yep.
And yeah, I expect JJ and if we can, Hart too. But
hot take. I think that Griffin did a decent job. I mean, he did a good job with the Anthony Davis trade, getting Ingram, got Ball, Hart picks,
I mean, it's the same deal that
Dempsey. Thoughts on the Bucks trade, because now turning Drew Holiday into Eric Bledsoe. And I guess giving away George Hill for Steven Adams and getting three useless picks because the Bucks are going to be good for the next decade is looking like a disaster.
Yeah, I hated it when we did it.
Traded Drew Holiday, who everyone's like, he is the best two-way guard in the league, for Eric Bledsoe, who everybody hates and wants, we all want to move off of him. Three picks that will be in like 2034, so like we might not even be alive. And then we gave up George Hill, which is funny, George Hill has way more trade value than Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes we make it not fun.
As always, thanks for joining in. You can follow us at Propels Talk on Twitter or Instagram. Ross, right off the bat, I kind of love the live-in call there.
Yeah, Jonathan, that was great.
I'm all about it. So once again, guys, you have questions, DM us your number. We'll call you live on the show. We love all of our followers. We love all the interactions. Even the guys that think we're all assholes, love them too. Also, leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcast thing. It helps our show. And then go follow Boot Crew Media. They're doing some cool stuff over there at Boot Crew Media. And go visit Company Burger, located at 4600 Ferret Street. Happy All-Star break. I'm sure you'll hear from us soon.
Yeah. Enjoy the break. It's going to be a slog of a second half, I have a hunch.
Later, y'all.
Way. It was a finger roll of any.
That's a dunk.